So we know that the context, there are those in Corinth who particularly are, they're trying to exalt themselves. And they're trying to basically push the Apostle Paul, basically to destroy his authority. Kind of like, really, Absalom was doing to David. In obviously a little different sense, but from our public reading, we can take that. And the Apostle Paul comes back, and if you notice, he doesn't really spend a lot of time defending himself. It could come across that way, but as you follow through, what he's trying to do is build up the congregation of Corinth. And the authority, we talked about this last week, the authority that the Lord gave him, not for destroying, but for building up. And we all want to remember that. And we have opportunities. The goal is to build up, not to destroy. How do we help others get to where they need to go without tearing them down? But the problem is some of these guys, they had set themselves up really as the standard. I'll put it this way. They had decided they wanted to be the big fish in the little pond. And no offense to Corinth, but it wasn't made up of a whole wealth of real spiritual people. And so there were those who were able to come in and manipulate and mislead and get some credibility amongst the congregation in Corinth. And so Paul's coming back and he's setting some things straight, and particularly he is trying to point out to these guys, well, for really, I think for the sake of the brethren, that these guys are off base, okay? And that they are not who we want to pattern ourselves after. So in verse 12, he says, we're not bold, speaking of himself, he says, we're not bold to class and compare ourselves with some of those who commend themselves. But when they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they're without understanding. Two things. Brethren, it is always, you can always find somebody you can compare yourself to, and you say, I'm doing good. And there is a tendency to do that. I know sometimes I'm doing pretty good. You know what? That's not right. To compare ourselves with others, that's not the standard. And that never has been. And the reality of it is, every single one of us, if we're in that frame of mind, we will find other people, typically who are, in our minds at least, less spiritual than us, to make that comparison to, so that we can feel good about ourselves. But secondarily, and this is the part I really want to preach on today, is that we can have a tendency to compare ourselves with ourselves. To, you know, Paul says we're not going to compare ourselves with those who commend themselves. There's a tendency to make me the standard. There's a tendency to pat myself on the back and say, I'm okay, and to think that my perspective is right. I think one of the, well, from the very beginning, in the Garden of Eden, the temptation of Satan really was, you be your own God. And that is the same temptation. There's different ways the devil gets there, but what he's selling is, be your own God. And one of the implications of that, when we buy that lie, is we then have a tendency to set ourselves up as God. We have a tendency to set ourselves up as the standard. To be sure, to be absolutely sure, my perspective is right. But we have to be careful with that, brethren. In the body of Christ, hopefully we're all growing. And at various stages along the way, we think, man, I got this figured out. I got this. And everybody should do this exactly the way I do this. And there's a tendency to then set myself up as the standard. If people would only do it like this, like I do it, like just like so, then everything's going to turn out right. And why doesn't everybody get smart and figure it out and do it the way I do it? Some of us have tendencies to do this. God, be careful. The comparison, the standard isn't you. The standard isn't me. Sometimes we can try to set ourselves up as the the judge, jury, and the executioner. This person, I know where that, they're not where they should be, and I've figured that out, and you're guilty, and we're going to deal with them. Careful. Careful. See, when we do that, we set it up to justify ourselves and to condemn others. Paul says that those who do such things are without understanding. And you aren't the standard. You aren't the measuring stick. Go with me to Matthew chapter 7. Jesus had a few things to say about this. I know the world misuses this. I know the world throws this in your face so that you can't ever say what's right, wrong. I'm not preaching on that today. I'm preaching to the church. Jesus says this to us in this context. You figure it out and you be honest with yourself about this passage of Scripture. Matthew chapter 7, verse 1, Jesus says, "Do not judge lest you be judged. For in the way you judge, you will be judged, and by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck that's in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that's in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye'?" Except it's not usually like that, is it? It's like, "Get over here and let me pound the back of your head and get that speck out of your eye." Okay? "And behold, the log's in your own eye. You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye." Jesus is calling every one of us really to the carpet and saying, it's really easy to look at others. A lot more difficult to look at yourself. And one of the problems with those who are attempting and trying to be justified by law, and one of the things I've noticed is you set up the boundaries. And you set these boundaries in such a manner that you're in, you're okay, you're safe, you're going to make it. But anybody who isn't in those same boundaries, boy, they're in trouble. I don't know, man. If the Lord comes back, I'm not sure they're going to make it. See, a critical eye is a critical mistake. The reality is the boundaries of the law put every single one of us out. You want to use the law on other people? By your standard measure, it shall be measured to you. The Scripture says, he who practices them shall live by them. You want to try it? Go for it. The record, the scriptural inspired record, is the law killed everybody. I'm not going to make it that way. There, matter of fact, there's only one way I'm going to make it, and there's only one way you're going to make it, and that's if we're justified by Jesus Christ. He is the only standard. Our faith in Him, our obedience to Him, is what makes us be able to stand justified before God. It's Him. He's the one who's able to make us stand holy and blameless before Him. Now, He does ask us with that to examine ourselves, to be honest. Test yourselves. See if you're in the faith. Examine yourselves. The Scripture does tell us. He says, yourselves. Now, let's go to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, we saw this morning from the bulletin question, one of the answers is God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. That's true. God is not mocked. God's not going to be made fun of. God is not... We can't fool Him, and He's not going to allow you to make a fool of Him. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 4, just a little earlier, he says, I just want to read the first part of this, "But let each one examine his own work." Look in the mirror and check it out. The mirror is the Scripture. James chapter 1 tells us that. Look in the mirror, check it out, examine yourself. You know, I find it interesting when I get to do, I'll just say in general, marriages. That you get to talk to people and if you get to do some counseling and you find out, you know, there's a tendency in the marriage relationship to always think about turn the problems and say it's this person, it's the other person's fault. And hey, you know what? My guess is most of the complaints that Julie honestly has about me, being careful here, Wilson, I think, they're true. Matter of fact, they're legit. Okay? The problem is, if I try to find her faults, and that's my focus, guess what? That ain't going to help one thing. I can point out either real things with her, they're probably not real, they're probably just imaginary in my mind, that I come up with. I'm being really careful today because I... But the reality of it is, you know, in all honesty, it's really easy to look at somebody else and see them, I think, probably pretty accurately, their faults. What's a lot tougher to do is to look at myself and find mine and be honest with myself. So where does Jesus turn our attention? To ourselves. Within the body of Christ, brethren, this is the focus. He doesn't say, examine your brother. So examine yourself. In the Lord's Supper, we get to judge the body rightly. That judging of the body rightly needs to start with, who is Jesus Christ? It needs to key on, who am I? And Kevin's done a wonderful job of explaining and continually reminding. The Lord's Supper is not a splash your sins on the altar meal. This is not the time people think about examining myself. Well, this is the time I'm going to go back and find everything that I've done wrong this week. And no, that's not what the Lord's Supper is about. You do need to confess your sins to the Lord. You need to be honest with the Lord. But the Lord's Supper is not the time that you're trying to do that. The judging the body rightly is understanding you are justified because of Jesus Christ. You stand because of Him. And then thirdly, then when you judge the body rightly, that you're honest about where your brethren's standing is because of Jesus Christ. Don't compare yourselves with yourselves. If we do that, we're without understanding. We need to compare ourselves with Christ. He is the standard. Back to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. The Apostle Paul goes on. He talks about different things that they had done. The work that they were actually doing. And they were pushing the gospel into places it had never been preached before. He says, we're not tagging onto somebody else's coattails like some of these guys in Corinth were. He's calling them out. He said, look, the things that we've done with the help of the Lord. We've done because of the Lord. But we have pushed into these other places. This is actual work that's taking place. And so he says that in reference to boasting, he says in verse 17, he who boasts, let him boast in the Lord. And there's a saying that I've heard oftentimes, and I think it was more in the realm of sports, and it goes something like this, it ain't bragging if you can do it. That's not really true. It's still bragging. Now, granted, there's a lot of people that talk about being able to do something, and they can't do it. A whole lot of empty talkers, right? Scripture talks about those. But what about if you can do something, if you still have to tell everybody else about it? That's bragging. That's being boastful. And you know, when we honestly, the reason that this is set up this way in this passage of Scripture, to get us to honestly examine ourselves in light of the Scriptures, every one of us, I want to say if we're completely honest, you don't have to be completely honest about this. You just have to be a little honest about this. But God wants us to be completely honest, so let's do it. Every one of us, we end up realizing we find we need Jesus Christ to justify us. I'm not going to stand before the judgment seat of God and say, Lord, you need to let me in because of all these things I've done. If that's the game I want to play, my mouth's going to be speechless and He's going to show me all the reasons why I deserve the other place. So, all of us understand this. We can't do this. Our personal righteousness, the Scripture says, is filthy rags in the eyes of God. And you can check that out in Isaiah chapter 64. You want to present yourself and your works to the Lord and have Him be impressed? You might be able to impress people. You aren't going to be able to impress the Lord. Go with me to Romans chapter 4. The book of Romans, the case that the Lord's making is we're justified by faith. Faith is what saves us. And to get people out of the mode of law. Because, brethren, I will just say this in passing if you haven't picked it up from the first part this morning. Number one, law kills me. If I try to live by the law, I'll die by the law. But number two, law kills everybody around me when I start trying to impose that on them. So the detrimental effects of this are far-reaching. If I leave it to myself and I want to kill myself, that's one thing. But when I start trying to kill everybody else with the law, that's a big problem. And so the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul in the book of Romans, is trying to get Christians, us, to understand what faith really is. And in this section in chapter 4, he just deals a little bit with this justification by works. Verse 1, he says, "What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh, is found? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God." Even if Abraham was justified by works, which he wasn't, he could boast before men, but he still can't boast before God. All he could tell God is, "I've done what you commanded me to do. That's what I did what I was supposed to do." That's not boasting. I mean, you can't boast about that before God. Verse 3, "For what does the Scripture say? And Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now the one who works, his wage is not reckoned as a favor, but as what is due. But to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is reckoned as righteousness." I'll stop there. Our righteousness comes from Christ. Now, is there a responsibility that we have in following up on that? Absolutely. But we can't, and we know, James says, faith without works is dead. But let's not get the cart before the horse. Works, good works come as a result of our faith. If there are no good works, then you better question your faith. Basically, James says, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, you're a liar. Okay, so let's put that on the table. But the flip side of this is, I can't approach this by works. If I approach this by works, I'm never going to be good enough. And if I approach this by works, my brother and sister are never going to be good enough. And if I approach this by works, I will find a way to make myself good enough. And I'll find a way to make sure you're not. And that causes destruction in the body of Christ. So, if we're going to boast, how about we boast in the Lord? God has changed us. We are saints now. We're not sinners anymore. One of the lies that's out there, and I want us to get a hold of this, one of the lies out there is that all we are is a bunch of sinners saved by the grace of God. No, God changed us. God calls us saints, and God is right. God's right all the time. But that is God's work, not our work. We need to give credit to who credit is due here. Paul asked the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, he says, "What do you have that you did not receive?" Can you think about that for a second? If you're thinking you're kind of hot stuff as a Christian, I guess that, I hope you are. But what do you have that you didn't receive? Where do you want to start? Every good thing bestowed and every perfect gift is from the Lord. Where did we come from? I don't think you certainly don't want to get stuck, guys, looking in the rearview mirror. If you look in the rearview mirror while you're trying to drive forwards, you're going to crash. But it's good to check it from time to time, isn't it? I have a problem from the time I was a little guy. This right eye of mine really wanders. And it'll veer off. So I can kind of watch the rearview mirror and... I can, actually. Watch the rearview mirror and where I'm going at the same time. My eyes can do that. The problem is my brain can't. You know what I'm saying? You've heard me say before, I'm the guy who tries to read the back of the bulletin while I'm singing the song. Okay? My brain can't do two things at the same time. I can go in and out really fast. Okay? But if I'm trying to look ahead and watch the rearview mirror at the same time, That's probably when Julie tells me she worries about my driving. But brother, we have to check the rearview mirror from time to time. If we don't, we forget where we came from. If we don't, we can get a boastful attitude, and that makes us worthless and unfruitful for the Lord and His kingdom. Who were we before Christ? I've mentioned the last few weeks. I don't know when it was, but I am proud of you guys. There is tremendous talent and ability in this congregation. There really is. You look around and it amazes me, honestly. But you know that talent and ability came from God, and most of it that I see in you and that you see in me is because of who He's made us to be after we became Christians. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I want chapter 1. I don't know why I have chapter 2 down. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. For consider your calling, brethren, that there were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble. But God's chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God's chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong. The base things of the world and the despised. God has chosen the things that are not, that He might nullify the things that are, that no man should boast before God. But by His doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who is wisdom from God and rank, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that just as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. We do have a lot to boast about in the Lord. Well, who were we before we were in Christ? We are nobodies. Maybe there's a few of us. There's a few of us in here who are something according to the world. And we figured out that was nothing. But most of us were nothing in the ways of the world even. And yet God chose us and God made us great. God does want us to do great things for Him. And I don't want you to misunderstand me. Sometimes we're afraid of being great. And we can't have that fear. The Lord made us to be great. But He made us to be great by Him, through Him, and for Him. Matthew chapter 11, verse 11 says that out of all those born of women, so you think about all those faithful under the Old Testament, nobody was greater than John the Immerser. And then Jesus says, he who is least in the kingdom of heaven. That's you and me. The least Christian is greater than John. God wants us to do great things. He made us that. He gave us His Spirit. It's His Spirit that's working in us. It's that we've been born of God. Our limitations are gone. God removed those. So let's boast in the Lord. Let's do what He wants us to do. But let's focus and thank Him and recognize it's because of His doing that we're able to do this. Back to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and we're closing up here. The last verse says, not he who commends himself is approved, but whom the Lord commends. Oftentimes people ask me if they can use me for a reference or something. I'm sure that many of you, they ask you, can I put your name down as a professional reference or as a personal reference, etc. And they ask, you know, would I give you a recommendation? And I try to be a little bit careful about that, because if I give a recommendation about somebody and they don't follow through, that says something about me, right? But when it comes to spiritual stuff, guys, it comes to that final day. Nobody's going to be asking for my recommendation on Judgment Day. Hey, Luke, would you testify before the Lord? No. Nobody wants my recommendation. And nobody's going to be asking for yours. There's only one voice that counts on that day. There's only one recommendation that matters. And that's the voice of Jesus Christ. The one who is approved is the one whom the Lord commends. Revelation chapter 20 paints a picture of the judgment day and books being opened. You know, we have the hymn, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. The reality of it is, on that final day, everybody's going to be there. The real question is, will your name be found in the roll? The Lord's looking over that book of life. Or you can think about it this way. You're coming there and the question is, does the Lord recognize you? The Lord knows those who are His, the Scripture says. We've been sealed with the Holy Spirit. He knows us. Oh, and in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says, it's not everybody who says, Lord, Lord, hey, Lord, I know you. That doesn't matter. What matters is, does He know you? Hey, I know Kevin likes that passage from Galatians. That we have, now that we have come to know God, or rather to be known by Him. The only thing that matters on that final day, guys, does the Lord know you? He's the only one that can have your name in that book of life. I think about all the Lord's done for us. Jesus is the judge. His resurrection from the dead proves that. But you know what the Lord does for us who are His? He's the judge, but He also comes and takes His role as our attorney, doesn't He? He's there. When your attorney is the judge, you will stand justified. And Jesus is the attorney for faithful Christians. I'm going to close the book of Proverbs, chapter 27. This world is a tough place. And even sometimes in the church it's tough. You want to... There's a tendency sometimes to... We have a need to be recognized, maybe, right? And I understand that need. You know, and I understand that as a dad of my children, there's a tendency, we want recognition. But Jesus really warns against the recognition of men. Say, you give alms and you tell everybody, hey, you know, look what I'm giving. That's the only reward you got. You want to stand praying on the street corner, everybody see you? Hey, good job, pat you on the back. That's all you get. The real reward has to come from Christ. And if we are living for the recognition of other human beings, we will compare ourselves with ourselves. We'll be back to the very first part of this and be without understanding. We have to live for the Lord and understand it's His approval that matters. In Proverbs chapter 27, verse 2, it says, let another praise you and not your own mouth, a stranger and not your own lips. Jesus is no stranger to us. But it's His praise that matters. It's His praise that counts. And on that final day, I know what I want for me and I know what I want for you. That Jesus Christ would say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. Brothers, we press on. We keep moving forwards. Let's not fall into that trap, comparing ourselves with ourselves. Let's not fall in the trap of trying to boast in ourselves and things that we do and all the great things that we are. Let's understand it's the Lord's approval that matters. And if we have His approval, that gives us confidence and we can treat other people. We can lay down our life for each other and build each other up without needing it reciprocated to us. And brethren, when we do that, when all of us are doing that, guess what? There's plenty of encouragement to go around. That's the way it works. But it has to come from Jesus Christ. By your standard, it shall be measured to you. That's true. If you judge others, you will be judged. But in Luke chapter 6, Jesus also says it's true. When you give, it will be given to you. When you forgive, you will be forgiven. That's the way God has this set up. So let's get the Lord's approval and then encourage and build up one another. Let's stand.